Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. I'm your host, Senator JPO. I'm just going to skip right through the intro because you know what we're all about. And this has not been a story that's been on the Wisconsin Public Radio, which is owned by the UW-Wisconsin Board of Regents. This is an entirely original lead that I've developed, and that is, why do adults continue to trick and deceive and just outright lie to young people, to these children who are in middle school or younger even? Why the continued insistence on just perpetuating the myth, the hoax, the hoax about Santa Claus? And now is the perfect time of year to go and blow the lid right off this scam. And it sure is a Santa scam, and here's why. Because if you cannot trust the adults in your life to tell the truth about where these gifts come from on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, then what other are they lying to you about? And that's just horrible that they would claim consistency and say that they're telling you the truth on all these things, but then find one lie, and then the rest of their credibility is called into question. So, first of all, why believe me, some guy on a podcast who says Santa Claus is imaginary, and the people who say that he is real outside your mind, in like flesh and blood Santa? No, that's wrong. That's incorrect. But why believe me when I say that's wrong and incorrect, when perhaps in the past your parents have said, no, it's true, Santa Claus is actually a real person or a corporeal spirit that can actually move stuff around, kind of like a poltergeist who brings you presents? Well, here's the information. And granted, there isn't much information out there dedicated to debunking Santa Claus, but I found it, and it's actually from a few years ago, a December 2015 blog post by Joe Oler, Jr. Don't confuse him with some Joe Oler in Pennsylvania, or don't confuse him with his dad at all. Oh, no. But, yeah, it's Joe Oler, Jr., who lives somewhere in Wisconsin, and he wrote this blog post, Ho, Ho, Hoax, the Santa Claus Lie Exposed. And I'm going to read some excerpts here. And here's the first thing. Okay, so it's a psychodramatic ritual intended to make children believe that they're being watched even when they're not. Now, that should be distinguished between being watched by God, who generally does not interfere in what's going to happen. You know, mostly hands-off God in terms of what we can perceive. For Santa Claus, he's mostly hands-off too, except for the claim that he brings you presents on that one day a year. Or maybe 2 days a year if your parents give you gifts also for St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. But the bottom line is that, you know, you have the deists who are like, well, God doesn't directly intervene in human affairs. And then you have the other people who are like, well, it only seems like he's not intervening because the choices have already been predetermined, where we're going to only do a certain number of things, and these combinations of possible choices we can make, all of them are pleasing to God in some way. And then you have the people who are like, well, I'm not going to go and talk all philosophical about God and how active or passive he might be, but I will say, Santa Claus is going to bring you gifts. And I'm going to address the Santa Claus portion of this, okay? I'm not going to go and try to prove that God is of one orientation or another in terms of like activity or passivity are giving us a certain amount of free will that ranges from very limited or none, which is a Calvinist view, to full free will, which includes the ability to lose salvation after you gain it. I'm not going to go and take sides in this program on that because that just, you could argue for hours not going anywhere. Now, Santa Claus is different. I'm going to argue for less than half an hour. And I'm going to convince everyone listening here that Santa Claus is just a popular myth. Not just an urban legend, but just kind of like a sociological construct, kind of like the whole idea of like moral superiority. You know, that's another moral construct, but you don't see some guy named Moral Superiority walking around and giving out gifts to people. So again, it's just like they're both in your imagination, and if enough other people on this earth agree with you, oh, well, yeah, something is real when it's not, well, then there you have a disconnection between materialism and, materially speaking, Santa Claus does not exist at all. Santa Claus is immaterial. Notice the prefix "im" meaning negation. So Santa Claus is not of the senses. You have imposters who try to create the impression that they are Santa, but they're all imposters. So you can see and hear and maybe feel and sit on the lap of imposter Santas, but there is no real Santa Claus. And the person in which he was based, St. Nicholas, died many years ago in 7th century Turkey. So he lived in like the 600s around the Istanbul area, back when it was like Constantinople. And he gave a few people some presents, like he gave some dowry money to these young women who wanted to marry, essentially marry into wealth. I mean, it's even a poor moral. It's like, oh, you want to defeat and conquer all your problems in life? You'll just marry into wealth. I mean, even the origin story of Santa Claus when he was like St. Nicholas, that's a slippery slope too. That presents a moral hazard because it's like, well, if everyone marries into wealth, then who's going to be left at the bottom to be doing these crummy jobs? So some people might say robots, but it remains to be seen. As economist Joe Heath has said in his economics primer, Economics Without Illusions, there has to be someone doing these crummy jobs. And I've done a lot, unfortunately, despite all my college degrees, they didn't help me at all. I mean, the college wage premium that I'm supposed to encounter has been a college wage penalty. And that's been a recurring theme on the show. And I just managed to eke out enough time to do one more year-end podcast, debunking Santa Claus. So yeah, my college wage premium, lifetime earnings from getting my degrees, has been as non-existent so far as Santa Claus. And that's an analogy you can take home and talk to your parents about, because really, when confronted at this level, at the systemic debunking and refutation of the Santa Claus hoax, they have no choice but to capitulate, but to agree with you that, yes, Johnny, yes, Susie, yes, you are right, and I, the adult, am wrong. That's what they should tell you when you present them with a copy of this blog article with a download link to this podcast. They should be agreeing with you, because if they don't, then they're being disingenuous, and the onus of proof, that burden, is upon them to show that, yeah, the Santa Clauses that you see and hear about are not imposters, because all the evidence says they are imposters, because there cannot be anything but imposters when the thing that they're based upon, the very Santa Claus they're all trying to impersonate, does not exist. Long dead in the ground, eaten by worms by now. If there's an heaven, hey, maybe there's a soul of Santa Claus, but anything that goes into heaven cannot come back down. And that's proven in the Bible where, I mean, several times, like in the New Testament when, oh, what is it, the poor man and the rich man, right? So the poor man dies and he goes to heaven, but the rich man dies and he goes to, at the time it wasn't called hell, but it's called Hades, or Sheol was like the Hebrew word for the underworld, and he wanted desperately to go back up and warn his relatives to just be generous, and just look out for the poor and stuff, kind of like the Christmas Carol. That was the prototypical story that inspired Christmas Carol, by the way. But, and then, yeah, and Jesus is recounting this, and he's retelling it, and he says that essentially the rich man was told, hey, if your brothers and sisters do not believe the Old Testament prophets, they won't believe you bring brought back to life to tell them. And that kind of also foreshadows as well that many of the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah because they wanted a militaristic, materialistic, political Messiah, spiritual, immaterial, divine, heavenly Messiah. So that leads me into how Santa Claus is like the secular substitute for Jesus. And really just the fact that Santa Claus is secular and not Judeo-Christian, even though he's based ostensibly upon St. Nicholas, so we don't really know if he's actually a saint because, again, he doesn't appear in the Bible at all. I mean, he was like 500 years after the Bible. And Santa Claus is meant to make people doubt religion in general. Because when they find out that the Santa Claus had been told is bringing them goodies and toys and all that, and it's really just everyday people, everyday citizens who aren't necessarily perfect, or they're certainly not divine entities. They're not ghosts or spirits like Santa Claus might be portrayed. It's like, okay, so up to you and me to go and give gifts to these people because there is no Santa Claus. And what does it say about reliance on God? Does it mean that people cannot rely upon God? Well, I will say that there's so many twists and turns in life that for people like me, they cannot help but believe that, yes, there is a God directing events because no matter what they do, their life goes on these unexpected twists and turns. Now, people who might see that they have greater agency or autonomy and efficacy in getting what they want or plan, they might not believe in God in terms of, like, a divine omniscient planner. But the whole thing with Santa Claus is that it's kind of like a watered-down proxy for God in that Santa Claus is not portrays omniscient beyond just having like a naughty or nice list of the children, but he's like unable to go and say anything about the adults usually. And he's certainly not omnipotent because he just brings gifts one day a year. And just the whole thing is he relies upon so many imposters. If Santa Claus are really not omnipotent, then he would just be able to like be everywhere at once. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, why doesn't God show himself everywhere at once? And the bottom line is that, well, maybe God isn't in the mood to do it, but the whole point is that Santa Claus propaganda pitchman. He doesn't have any priests like God does, but he does have well-meaning but liars, well-meaning parents of the children who are lied to. And you can see how this thing is just going around the same arguments, but what about, like, the astrophysicists who tried to detect Santa on the radar and stuff, right? Well, Santa Claus has not been detected on radar. I mean, if there were, there would sure as heck be a record. But no FAA records of Santa in flight, no pictures of him in flight. They're all paintings from one's imagination or people Photoshop stuff together. You're not going to find an original undoctored photograph of Santa Claus in flight. You're just not. Same thing with reindeer. You're not going to find them suspended in midair unless someone puts something together in Photoshop. And you're certainly not going to experience it live in a person because you can be camped out. You can be watching the rooftops. You can be camped out by a chimney. And the closest thing to Santa you're going to get is maybe a ticked off parent saying, why aren't you in bed yet? So, yeah, and there's this old thing from, like, the early internet age where astrophysicists computed that it's physically impossible for a human being to go and run Santa's route because he or she would obliterate in flames in the atmosphere from the high speeds necessary to go and get to all those houses within a 24-hour period. Okay, so what else? Oh, yeah, if you're poor parents, you know, if they aren't earning much income or they're all jobless or whatever, and they saw them bringing gifts, you know where they got those toys? Not from Santa Claus. They got them from Toys for Tots. And Santa does not run Toys for Tots. The United States Marine Corps operates the Toys for Tots program. Just want to let you know because, you know, the parents will be like, well, okay, I can't show you any physical proof that Santa exists, but I did get these toys from Santa. And it's like, No, the first thing they tell them is like, "Oh, you got us from Toys for Tots. The Marine Corps donated them for you." And really, your neighbors may have donated them to Marine Corps because Marine Corps is just like a holding company, really, for a Toys for Tots program. I mean, obviously, they're very excellently trained warriors, but that the Toys for Tots program is what the Marine Corps does from Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve, and essentially, they give out these toys when the single mothers and the jobless fathers go and line up and they pick up the toys from the Toys for Tots drive. It's not just people dropping them off, it's also people picking them up. And Marine Corps also brings the Toys for Tots goodies over to the food pantries and distributes them there as well. So, yeah, that's the sleight of hand going on. It's just a whole big shell game, that's all. It's just taking from those better off and giving to the poor. And it's not Santa Claus doing that. No, it's not coming from his workshop. It's well-off people donating these toys. That's why in the Toys for Tots program, they say as a requirement, they have to be in near mint condition, if not in the original packaging. Because if anything looks like it's used, oh my goodness, we can't say this from Santa. We have to take it back and give them something that's new. So again, it's a big scam, and Marine Corps has never said there is a Santa Claus. They're not really scamming people. A lot of people are exploiting and abusing the Toys for Tots program in order to deceive their children into erroneously believing in a Santa Claus. And there's a comic strip from Jack Chick who's like, Fairy Tales is the name of that comic. And, you know, Jack Chick died last October 2016, rest in peace. But, you know, as he left behind some really great comics. Because one in particular shows that if you lie to people, if you have, like, authorities, and people who, like, are telling you, yeah, God is real and stuff, and then they lie to you about stuff like Santa Claus, then why should you believe them about God existing, and why should you believe them about respecting authority and these other things? It's a very well-written comic strip. And while it uses a rather exaggerated example, again, one of the arguments against Santa Claus is that it's a slippery slope. Santa Claus exists, then, you know, it's like, well, why aren't we running into characters from the comics like Batman or Spider-Man, right? Why cannot they be said to exist and not just be impersonated? And again, like Santa Claus exists just like those comic characters, they exist only in the imagination. I already mentioned NORAD and the FAA being unable to ever find or document Santa. But I will say, NORAD Santa Tracker, that's another big hoax. It's a government-funded hoax, unfortunately. But don't distrust the entire government just because of that. That's just a concession to these constituents who are like, hey, we're having a tough time proving that there's a Santa. Can you just make up something that shows a fake route for Santa Claus and just say that you're tracking Santa? Well, it's not real time. It's just a predetermined set of coordinates on a map. And at a certain time, they say Santa is at these coordinates. But guess what? You have satellites looking at those coordinates, and what do they see? Nothing. Not even a radar bullet. It's another fake lie. Fake news. That's all Santa Claus is. It's just fake news. So, going through the rest of the evidence here. You know how they have hologram technology? Well, if you think that you're seeing like a real Santa Claus, that's just going to be a hologram. And yeah, it's kind of like the Santa Claus android. Yeah, they'd have to use like electromagnetism to make that thing fly. What else do we have here? Okay, so philosophical excuses for a Santa Claus. So usually when they're forced to concede there's no material entity known as Santa Claus, just innumerable impersonators hired at the mall and well-meaning parents dressing up as Santa, they say, oh, well, we never said he was actual flesh and blood Santa. He's just a philosophical idea form, Platonic Santa. You know, Plato's forms, where it's just like abstract ideas. Well, when people talk about Santa Claus and they're forced to admit he's not really material, he's not corporeal, and they say, well, we're just philosophizing. But it's still no excuse to having misled children. No excuse at all. Just as the word chair should not be misconstrued as referring to a table, the name Santa Claus should not be presented as anything beyond a superficial depiction of what cultural leaders want you to believe a good human is. And some people will say, well, that's kind of the same role as Jesus Christ plays. Well, there's a big difference, though. Santa Claus was never identified as the Son of God. And Santa Claus sure as heck never went on a cross, and he was never crucified. He was never killed for anyone's sins here, and he certainly never rose from the dead. Now, Jesus Christ did. Santa Claus is just a pretender, positioned by secular humanists in order to rob God of the glory of Christmas. But they failed, because I'm out here today telling you why Santa Claus is fake. If you're going to believe in something that people say is a myth, well, believe in Jesus Christ, because the upside to belief in Jesus is much bigger than the upside in believing in Santa Claus. Oh, by the way, before I sign off, I also want to show this one petition here. I use a lot of material from Joel's blog for this episode. I just want to say that there's a petition that Mr. Oler has. You can go to it by the URL goo.gl/LC_C_MDW, and it'll redirect you over to the petition, How Are My School's College Grads Faring? And the purpose of that petition is not to debunk Santa Claus, because we already did it on the show, but to have the University of Wisconsin system gather data as to the occupational outcomes of recent college graduates. We need to know, just as there is no Santa Claus, what extent are these recent college graduates seeing a lack of an earnings premium? To what extent are they not getting hired into these professional positions, and are they unable to start a real career? What percentage, what portion of these UW system graduates are no better off financially and economically after earning their degree than they were before even entering, enrolling, or matriculating at the UW system? And for more information about the Santa Claus Lie Exposed, navigate over to joeolerj.wordpress.com/2015/12/ho-ho-hoax-the-n-t-a-c-l-a-u-s-dash-l-i-e-dash-x-e-x-p-o-s-e-d. Just one X in there in case anyone is entering it as I speak. It should all together read joelorgineer.wordpress.com/2015/12/24/ho-ho-hoax-the-Santa-Claus-Lie-Exposed with one hyphen in between each of the letters beginning with ho and ending in exposed. And, of course, go to the Blog Talk Radio summary for this podcast. In fact, if you're listening right now, you're probably already at that summary page. Just scroll down and you see the links already there. There's a link to the blog article from which I read and paraphrased a lot of things. There's also a link to the petition, How Are My School's College Grads Faring? A very worthwhile petition. It would be a tremendous Christmas gift if you signed it. All you need is a change.org account. It's free. Many of you already signed up because you're all big petition signers, I know, politically active. And, yeah, the more people we have signing this petition, the better, because that opens the door to research into what type of return these recent UW system graduates are getting or are failing to be able to get. A lot of them are just in over their heads because, you know, it's one thing to earn your college degree, but another thing entirely to be able to use and be respected for that academic credential you earn. A lot of them are very bright enough to debunk Santa Claus. But a lot of them just have a problem getting through the hiring manager and getting through the interview process. There are a lot of mean people out there who don't want to give an unemployed college graduate a chance. But, you know, just like the people who are bought at a Christmas dinner by a Salvation Army or maybe by a private individual who decides that they have enough food and they're just going to invite in people they see off the street. And that's what Jesus is like, well, the heavenly feast. He went out in this parable and he wanted to get all the people. And he started at those high social rank, they turned them out. It's like, oh, I got better things to do. Or I don't need your charity. Saying things like that. So Jesus got fed up with that, and he just said, well, all you poor and all you who are crippled in the street and all you who are the lowest economic standing, go into my feast of plenty. And those are the types of people in the parable who enjoy the feast because they don't have this pride holding them back from accepting a gift. And just like the people who go to Toys for Tots, I'm not saying they're bad for accepting a handout. No, I don't think a handout is actually that bad at all. I'm not one of those hardliners who are like, well, it's bad to accept any generosity. No, generosity is good, and it's okay to receive a generosity. The bad part was those people lying to their kids about where they got the toys. That's the only bad thing about the people who use Toys for Tots. And maybe a few of them are honest. They're honest, and that's great. That's great because that opens the dialogue as to the nature of truth and deception in our social institutions. But again, if you agree with my reasoning, then you're welcome to head on over to goo.gl/LC MDW. That'll whisk you over to the petition, How Are My Schools College Grants Faring? I appreciate your signature, and Merry Christmas to you. I'll see you in the new year. Senator JP is signing off.